You're listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships with DJ Cabaret.
Hey, what's up, you guys? You're listening to The Hookup with me, DJ Cabaret, here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. So I hope all of you had a wonderful week this week. Last week we were talking about some complicated relationships and what to do when you're in one and what a complication in a relationship really is. So thank you for tuning in here today on Penguin Radio. And as I said, you're listening to The Hookup and everything else about relationships with me, DJ Cabaret. So I'm sure you understand by now what I'm about and that I know a little bit about relationships, and I want to help you guys in any way that I can. So with that being said, I want to hear what you guys have to say as well. So you can shoot me a text. The phone number is 415-570-2969, and I will share what you guys are saying here on my radio show. I want to hear your guys' input and your opinions and, you know, anything else that you feel you might want to share with us. So just give me, just shoot me a text. You can stay completely anonymous. So with that being said, we're going to get into communications in relationships. So communication in relationships, that could mean so many different things. So, I mean, this is what you do when there's a sensitive topic between you and your partner. If you're scared to say something, if you're angry or upset or tired or confused, or just need to express how you feel, you're going to communicate with your partner or the, you know, the person you're hooking up with or whatever it might be. And communicating is the key to any relationship. Any relationship, I promise. No, I really promise you that it is the key to the relationship. So if you're good at communicating, your relationship, whatever it might be, will end up better in the end. And I think that, I guess what I was thinking is that the hardest times to talk with someone, whether that be your significant other or someone you're hooking up with, is when you're angry. I mean, when you get mad and there's something that, you know, I get mad at my boyfriend for, I think that it's easy for me to go really crazy really fast. And I know that I can get unrealistic and blow things way out of proportion. And I've heard people do this time and time again. And I think that this is where people say things in an argument that, you know, they might not actually mean, or they didn't mean to say, or whatever it might be, that they look back on the conversation and ask themselves, how did I say that? Or why did I say that? I don't even believe that. So, you know, this can cause conflict and more anger, especially down the road and initially, if you say something you don't mean. And I'm sad to say that I do know this from experience. I have personally done this a couple times where I'll say something and I didn't mean it, and I realize that it can cause a lot more conflict. So just knowing how to communicate can really help that. And, you know, I could give you some tips and tricks about how to communicate when you are, when you're angry. I have done some research, and I also have looked back on some personal experiences and heard some other people's personal experiences. So I'll give you some tips and tricks on communicating when you're angry. And it could be when you're upset at your significant other, or maybe it's because of something else and you're starting to take it out on them. And I'll get into that a little bit. But first, what you need to do when you're trying to communicate when you're angry. So before I want to talk to you guys, I wanted to do some psych research on anger in relationships. So I went on online and I looked up what to do when you're angry and you need to talk about it with your significant other, because they are an important person in your life. So according to Jerry Vassar from Lakeside Connect, there are multiple ways to deal with situations that upset us. And he listed two main ways that people respond when they're angry that does not create harmful consequences. So first, he said that assertive expression is one way. So this is when someone's super clear and direct, and they're specific and willing to take responsibility for their feelings, which I feel like is hard to do. And this is one way that you can, you know, express your anger and just, you know, bring to the table what you feel is true. So this is where they often use the word I, and they stay in the present and they don't bring up any events from the past. They don't accuse the other person or assume the motives of the other person, and they state the impact of the behavior that upset them or may have been upsetting, and they might give some information in regard to, you know, what their personal beliefs are or their personal values or issues or whatever that might be. So that's one way. And the other way that Vassar listed was that there's also reflective expression. So this is when someone steps back and internally, you know, looks at the situation and processes it, recognizes that they are angry, and makes the decision to process what they're feeling, what they need, and their perspectives, and any other aspects that they might need clarity on. So when they're ready, they decide to share their feelings, whether that be with a significant other or with a family member or a friend. There are times when they just walk away from the situation, and other times when they find it necessary to speak. So reflective expression and assertive expression are two things that you can do when you're angry and you don't want to create any consequences with that. So I think that both of these reactions are great, but it is hard just to fulfill one set of shoes from one of those. So I did some more research on this, and just knowing that for myself, I was falling under more than one category between the assertive and the reflective. So I looked at loveisrespect.org, which is a great website, by the way, and they say that, quote, an open, honest relationship should be part of any healthy relationship. So I totally believe this. When there's an issue, whatever it might be between, you know, your boyfriend and you or your girlfriend and you, I think that having an open, honest conversation with them is a really great, you know, it's just something that you need to be able to do in a relationship with someone. And my first instinct, personally, is to go and try and fix the issue. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, I think this is one of the worst things that I do. And so I looked into this a little bit, and the same website, loveisrespect.org, said there are four steps to communicating with your significant other when you're angry or upset. So those four things are to stop, think, talk, and listen. And they say that if you get really angry, upset about something, which by the way is totally normal and totally okay, everybody gets angry at some point, but first, you need to step back from the conversation. You need to, you know, be able to give yourself some time to calm down. And this could be whatever calms you down. This could be running, which, as I mentioned, is something that I do to get my mind off of things. Or it could be listening to music, going on a walk, watching TV, playing video games. I don't know, whatever gets you guys calm and gives you some time to clear your head. And doing this definitely keeps the situation from getting worse. Now, as I mentioned, personally, I always want to fix the situation as soon as it happens. So I want to deal with something first before it gets worse. However, you know, I've run into issues here. So if one person wants to back off and get the space that they feel they need, and the other person, being me, feels like they need to fix the situation right away, it can cause a lot of issues. And it's something that, you know, you need to be able to communicate with your partner and figure out what's going on. So I think that that's something that, you know, you need to be able to communicate about, not communicating when angry. So I think that's something that I need to look into personally. But I also have noticed that it's hard for a lot of couples that don't communicate as well to be able to do that. So next, as loveisrespect.org states, is that you need to think. So after you get over the initial shock and the upset of a situation, whatever it is that made you angry, you can think about what got you so upset and angry. How was it that your partner spoke to you, or was it something they did, or was it an outside source that made you angry? So whatever it might be, figure out what the issue is and figure out why you feel the way you do about the issue, and think about how you're going to explain this to your partner. And if you can do this, then communicating with them will be so much easier and simple instead of going on tangents and starting another argument, which will cause way more conflict down the road. So after you have stopped and you have thought, then you have to talk. And I think that this is a super vital step. I think that you need to be able to talk calmly and respectively, which I'll go into later in my show, how to exactly do that in a healthy manner, because I think there are a lot of people who think they know how to communicate with someone. However, it could come out totally wrong in the end. So I'll go over how to communicate in a beneficial way later. So the last step after you stop, think, and talk is communicating, is being able to listen. So being able to listen to your partner when they share how they feel, or when they're, you know, wanting to express their feelings to you. So I think listening is super crucial. And if you want them to hear what you have to say, why should you not have to listen to what they have to say to you? I think both people in a relationship deserve the chance to, you know, express how they feel and, you know, what. And I think that's something that people need to be safe and healthy in a relationship, having that environment where they can converse with one another and they can trust each other. And listening is a very, very big part of that. And I think if someone has the ability to listen to their partner and understand what they're saying and work with them and hear their concerns or their boundaries or their feelings, then it is a much safer environment, which is something that you really need to be able to look for in a relationship. So if you feel like you're in a relationship that isn't giving you that, then maybe that's something you need to communicate with your partner about, is what you feel like you need in the relationship, as well as what they feel like they need in the relationship. So that's a big communication step. I know that's not really what you need to communicate about when you're angry, but it is something that I think people need to be able to at least value or see in their relationship, is what they need. And they need to be able to express that to their significant other. I mean, the title says it all. They are a significant other. They're someone that is pretty significant in your life. And even if you're just hooking up with someone, I think that having this communication when you're angry, because there are so many things you can get angry about when you're just hooking up with someone, but having that communication when you're angry and being able to express that you're upset and this is what you want and this is how you need to resolve that, that's something that's really important. So what loveisrespect.org says is to stop, think, talk, and listen. So those are the four steps that, you know, you should, you know, you can give it a try next time you are really angry and you're in a relationship. And make sure if you're going to stop in the beginning and you've never done this before, just to let your significant other know that, you know, you wanted to take some space so that they understand what's happening and they don't feel like they're walking in the dark and they don't know what's happening either. And so remember that trying to get your point across when you're angry is not always successful, even if you follow these steps. So I think that if you step back and think before talking, so you think about what made you upset, that'll be a much better way to approach the situation. You'll be able to say what really is on your mind instead of, you know, as I said, going on a tangent. So then you'll, you know, you can be able to reciprocate and respect the listen. You're going to listen to your partner. So that's going to create a much better flow between the two of you. And I think it's hard to admit it, but you need to honor the anger you feel and honor the relationship. And there are a lot of issues that we deal with in our lives, and there are healthy ways to deal with it. And it's important to try and keep the peace and harmony in the relationship as well as internally. So if you can be able to do that and you can successfully be able to stop and think with your partner, then I think it's going to be a much better way to approach a situation when you're angry. All right. So don't be too angry with me, but I will be right back with you here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Cabaret.
You're listening to The Hookup, and we'll be right back here on Penguin Radio.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
You're listening to Penguin Radio.
Center of attention once again.
us during that break. You're listening to The Hookup with DJ Cabaret here on Penguin Radio.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Thank you for staying with us during that break. You're listening to The Hookup with me, DJ Cabaret, on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. So remember that you guys can text me if you want at any point during the show, and you'll have your input here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. So if you want to text me, the phone number is 415-570-2969, and I would love to get your voices and your opinions here on the radio. All right, so remember how I told you guys that I would let you know about how to communicate in a healthy relationship and how to be able to talk it out with your partner. Remember that? All right. So regardless of mood, here are some tips on how to accomplish talking with your partner in a healthy, beneficial manner. So remember that these are just tips, and if you don't feel safe or comfortable doing any of these for any reason, then don't try them. This is not me telling you exactly what to do. It's just a suggestion. Alrighty, so without further ado, here are some tips for healthier communication. All right, so the first thing that I have found has been really very successful is trying to find the right time. And if there's something bothering you or, you know, whatever it might be, then, you know, you need to find an appropriate and acceptable time to be able to talk, especially if it's something serious that you need to talk about with your partner. So don't interrupt them in any action that they enjoy. So that might be video games for me personally. Don't talk about it when you're trying to go to sleep, because that's always, you know, people's safe place. That's where they feel comfortable and they need to be able to sleep. So I think that it's, you know, being able to do that is, you know, finding the right time is something that's important. And I think that I mentioned last week that you also need to be sensitive to other aspects of their life. So if there's something coming up the next day, like a test or an event that they have to prepare for, then be wary of bringing it up then. Or if there's something very serious going on in their life, like a divorce between their parents, or, you know, a family friend or a relative passing away, then that probably isn't a very good time to bring up your issues either. You know, they're focused and they're stressed out or whatever it might be. And they, you know, it might not be a helpful time for you to get a serious answer from your partner. So you should either ask for a time when the two of you can be alone and have very little distractions around you. Or you should, you know, wait for that time and look for that time. And, you know, people aren't mind readers. They don't know that you're looking for the time. So if you feel like, you know, they're pushing it off, they probably don't even know that you're trying to find a time to be able to communicate with them. So just be, you know, cautious of you wanting to talk, and you think that they should know what's going on, because people most of the time have absolutely no idea what's going on. Alrighty, so another tip that I know some people, especially now, with all the social media and technology that we have, where people meet their dates or they're having interaction with their significant others via text. This is really hard to do, and it's talking face to face. So I think that doing this talking face to face thing is becoming super scary for a lot of people, especially with the growing generations that are very addicted to Facebook and texting and doing things over social media instead of actually speaking with someone and being able to communicate with them in a real life way. It's just so interesting to me that people just do these very important conversations over text or Facebook. And I think that it's easy just to hide behind a phone screen or whatever, a computer screen. And the tip I have for you is that if you have something serious to say to someone, then you need to talk to that person about it in person. You shouldn't text them or email them or Facebook message them, you know, which we all know can be easily misinterpreted. And, you need to be able to talk to that person and know that there's no unneeded stress or misunderstandings or miscommunications in it. So you can be able to see each other. And there are a lot of arguments that come out of conversations being over text or Facebook, because there's something as simple as miscommunications, and it creates a lot more anger, upset, nervousness, and then you need to find an entirely different time to talk about that. So that other tip is that, you should be able to talk with someone face to face. So something else that I think is a great tip from that website I mentioned earlier, loveisrespect.org, is that you should not attack someone. So this means using words like you. So when you're having a conversation with someone, if you use a word like you can kind of sound like you're attacking them. For example, if you say you have been distant with me, then it makes it seem more like it's their fault. Now, regardless of how you feel, don't do that. So it's for your sake, and it's also for the sake of your relationship. So try instead to use words like I and we, which makes it seem less about them doing wrong and more about how the two of you can work together to fix it, or how the two of you could be able to remedy what's going on. So for example, instead of saying you have been distant with me, you can say, I feel like we have not been as close lately. So if you do this, chances are your partner will be a lot more receptive to what you're saying, and you two might be able to work together to resolve the issue that's happening. And I know that it's hard, especially if you are really upset about something, to be able to alter your words and make it a little more, a little less attacky, because sometimes you are really mad at them for whatever action they might have done. So it is, kind of using that step I mentioned earlier to think about it and to be able to, understand why you're upset, and then be able to talk about it. Because a lot of people go into an argument or go into a conversation not quite knowing what they want the outcome to be or why they're actually upset or whatever it might be. So if you think about it and then, you are able to not attack someone, then it's going to be a much more easily understood conversation between the two of you, and you'll be able to resolve whatever issue the two of you are having. All right. So another tip, which comes to you highly suggested from me, from personal experience, is what's something I read on that loveisrespect.org website. And this tip is be honest. And I can't even explain to you how many times I have heard of people lying to each other in relationships, and it leads to something so much worse than it was initially. I think that if you lie in a relationship and you're not being honest, then how can the person you're in a relationship with, whether it be hooking up or just sleeping together, or you're in a long-term relationship, how can they possibly want to, be around you and stay with you? And I'll talk about lying in relationships next week on my show. However, I just want, to put this out there now. This is something just to keep in mind this week. If you're having a hard time in your relationship, I want you to remember, just be honest with whoever you're in a relationship with, no matter what kind of a relationship it is. So just keep this in mind this week before I give you the inside scoop next week on lying in relationships. So short and sweet, don't lie. Be honest. All right. Something that I brought up a little while ago, but it's always good to remind you of, is watching your body language. So making eye contact when talking to your partner is a really, really, really great way to build trust. And it also makes communications easier for both of you. So if you're having a serious conversation and it's not, you know, relaxed in bed and cuddling and, you know, after you have woken up from, you know, after you woke up in the morning or whatever it is, just if you're having a serious conversation, you should be able to sit together and, you know, sit up and keep that eye contact, and it'll make it much easier for both of you to build trust and also make communications then and from then on easier. So, you know, sit up, face your partner when you're speaking. And something that comes with the generations now, and I even see it in older couples as well, is people get purposefully distracted when they're talking. So they'll look at their phone or they'll bring their phone out and they'll start texting. And I don't think that that is okay. I think that that's a really bad way to, you know, distract from the conversation and try to make it not happen, whatever it might be. So I think that getting rid of those distractions, even if it's just fiddling with your hair or whatever, you need to be able to focus on your partner and focus on what they're saying. And this is kind of part of the listening thing that I said earlier. And I think that it's important to be able to respect your partner in this way and watch your body language and look at them. And it lets your partner know that you're listening to them. And I think that's really great. So that's a tip I have for you guys, which I know I've mentioned earlier, but it's always great to bring it up again. Alrighty, so last but not least, from loveisrespect.org, which I personally, it's a new one for me, so bear with me. This tip is use the 48-hour rule. So let me explain this a little bit to you. So if your partner does something that makes you angry, or, you know, whatever it might be, if you get in an argument with someone else at school or at work, or there's something that's agitating you that's outside of your relationship, then you should, you know, be able to talk about it. And I know that I will try this out the next time that I feel it's needed. And I'll let you know how that goes in later shows. However, I think that this 48-hour rule is a really great idea. So loveisrespect.org states that the 48-hour rule is something to really live by. So if your partner does something that makes you angry, as I said, you do need to be able to tell them about it. But what they say is that you don't need to do this right away. So if you're still hurt about whatever it might be, whether it's in the relationship or not, 48 hours after it happened, if you're still upset, say something. Be able to talk with your partner and communicate with them. And if not, consider forgetting about it, because, you know, I think that people aren't mind readers, and it could be something very small that they didn't even realize upset you. And being able to, you know, this is part of that stepping back and looking at what happens, kind of. I think that it's really important to be able to step back and look at this. And 48 hours is a good window of time to be able to talk with someone. So if you're still hurt and upset after 48 hours, then say something. However, they do heed warning on loveisrespect.org that your partner's not a mind reader, as I said. And, you know, if you don't speak up about what it is when you're upset, then there's no way for them to change. So if it's something that you realize after 48 hours really didn't upset you as much as you initially thought it did, then you should be able to forget about it and forgive them for whatever it was. And if you don't speak up when they're upset, they don't know. They don't know that there's something going on. So no matter how much we, quote, want them to do the dishes, as Jennifer Aniston would say, they won't know. So once you do mention your hurt feelings and your partner sincerely apologizes, or you talk out whatever the issue was, then let it go. And don't bring up something that's in the past or is already resolved. So if it's something as simple as washing the dishes and they apologize for not doing it and whatever it might be. And they say that they're going to continue doing it. And later you try to bring that up in a different argument about something and try to use that against them, then I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think that's a good way to work in a relationship. And I think bringing up past issues is a really harsh way to be able to deal with a conversation or deal in a relationship, because people are always afraid you're going to bring up something that happened last week or last month or last year or whatever it might be. I think that to be able to communicate in a healthy, open way in a relationship, you need to be able to have an easy flow between the two of you. And I think that, you know, knowing that they're not a mind reader and knowing that they're not going to be able to just know that you need something or want something is really important. And as I've mentioned a couple times, I believe, communicating with your partner about communicating is really, really important. So I'll kind of explain that a little bit. So being able to communicate with your significant other, even if the two of you are just hooking up or you're sleeping together or, you know, you're friends with benefits or you're in a long-term relationship or a long-distance relationship, whatever the case may be, communicating with that person about what you want in the relationship is important. And in previous shows, I talked about how to have the talk on what you, how you are going to define your relationship. So that's, I think, the first step, I would say, in this whole communicating about communicating. So for some people, in my case, I have found that it's hard to communicate with someone if you don't know what they are expecting or what their communication is. So personally, I know that I'm one of those people, as I mentioned, that tries to fix an issue or wants to talk about something as soon as it happens. And that being said, my boyfriend is the exact opposite. He wants to be able to take a step back and look at the issues and look at what's happening and be able to think about it. And I think that's really great. I wish I could do that more. I know that I have a hard time doing that. And he, you know, we never initially communicated about that. We never said, I'm the kind of person who needs to be able to deal with things as soon as they happen. And he never told me that he's the kind of person who needs to step back from the situation. So the first time we ever got in an argument, it was really complex and there was a lot of negative energy and there was a lot of fighting and more arguments that came out of the argument, and it was just this big, long, horrible thing. And in the end, we realized that we have very different ways of communicating. And now that we both know that, I think that there's a much easier stream of communication between the two of us. And if there's an issue, whatever the issue might be, then we're a lot more susceptible to be able to talk about it and work with both of the people's boundaries the way they communicate. So, and that's just one example that I have from my personal experiences. And I think that if you have that open, honest communication with your partner, your relationship's going to be a lot better in the long run, and the longevity of it will probably last longer. And if you're one of those people that you're trying to move from being friends with benefits or just hooking up or just sleeping together to getting in an exclusive relationship where it's a boyfriend and a girlfriend or a girlfriend and a girlfriend or boyfriend and boyfriend, then it's going to be much easier to do that if you had easy conversation and open, honest conversation previously when you weren't exclusive with just each other. So just try to remember that, you know, if you're looking to use these tips to help you, then, you know, I think that being able to do all of this is something that is really great for you and for whoever, you know, might be in a relationship with you. So some of those tips I'll just reiterate is finding the right time to talking for talking with your partner. So making sure that they're not in the middle of doing something or they're not super stressed out about something that's coming up. Another tip is talking to someone face to face and not doing it over text or Facebook or whatever that might be, no matter how scary it is. Another one is you should not attack. So this is, as I said, using words like you, don't say that you have been distant with me, being able to make it more of a relationship statement saying, I feel like we have not been as close lately. And I think that that'll really help with a lot of people who are in relationships where they feel like they're getting a lot of negative feedback. And another tip is being honest. So I talked about be honest and don't, you know, don't lie. And I will talk about lying in relationships next week. There's that listening and respecting and using positive body language. So the eye contact and sitting up. So that'll really help with communication in your relationship. And last but certainly not least, use that 48-hour rule. So if you find yourself upset after something happens, wait 48 hours if you can, see if you're still upset by it. And if you are, talk with your partner. And if you're not, consider forgetting about it. So let's try those out for the next time that we, you know, need to enhance our conversation and our communication in a relationship. And, you know, maybe next time you need to talk something out with your partner, you will come back here on Penguin Radio and look at those tips. And I will talk it out with you right after this short break here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, the official home of Dominican University of California.
Stay tuned for more stories and gossip here on The Hookup with DJ Cabaret.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what? Yes, Alan, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Thank you.
Who let the dogs out?
Radio.dominican.edu.
Those fingers in my hair, that sly come hither stare, that strips my conscience bare, it's witchcraft. And I've got no defense for it, the heat is too intense for it. What good would common sense for it do? 'Cause it's witchcraft, wicked witchcraft. And although I know it's strictly taboo, when you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed with what you're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one I wouldn't switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you. You're leading me to. It's such an ancient pitch, but one that I'd never switch, 'cause there's no nicer witch than you. Thank you.
Thank you for staying with us during that break. You're listening to The Hookup with DJ Cabaret here on Penguin Radio.
Hey, you guys, thanks for staying with me through that break. You're listening to The Hookup with me, DJ Cabaret, here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. All right, so I've been talking with you guys on how to talk and when to talk, and I think that's all very important, but I also wanted to talk with you guys about why we communicate in relationships and what's going on and why this communication is so hard for a lot of people. So remember that you can text me at 415-570-2969. That number is 415-570-2969. I want to hear what you guys have to say, and I want to be able to talk about it here on The Hookup. So if you guys want to shoot me a text during the show, that would be great. And if not, you guys do know I'm talking about lying in relationships. So if you want to shoot me a text about that for next week's show at any point during this show or during the week, I would love to share it on the show next week. Alrighty, so back to relationships. So, you know, it's always important that for you and your partner to know what's going on and what you're feeling and what's on your mind. And whether it's a hookup or you're in a long-term relationship or the person that you're with, you know, is they're really significant in your life and you're not actually in a relationship, I think that they need to know what's going on with you. And I think that expressing that and communicating about that is something really important that a lot of people lack doing. And I've realized in recent years that our culture has been progressing super quickly. And now there's more acceptance and allowance of things that were originally considered taboo. However, we're not becoming more accepting of emotions, I've realized. And it's considered more unrealistic, I suppose, for men to share their emotions and their feelings, regardless of who they are and who they speak to and what's going on. So remember, girls or guys, if you're a significant other, you know, they're not sharing everything with you, then it's hard, I think, for them to be able to share with you, not because they don't love you. Trust me, if they're in a relationship with you, they like you, definitely, for some reason. And it's, you know, our culture is just not accepting of guys, you know, being able to express how they feel. So I guess you could say that there's a cultural norm that men are manly and they need to be strong and not express their feelings. And doing all of that is considered sissy or girly. And there are many men that feel as though they can't communicate this with their significant others. And, you know, this can significantly assist in the longevity of a relationship if you communicate. And it will relieve so much confusion and conflict between the two people in the relationship. So I realized this and I looked into this more on the internet, and I found an interview conducted by Psychology Today. So Greg Enriquez, who is a professor, he conducted this interview with a man and his wife. And after speaking with the man, whom for the purpose of the interview wanted to remain anonymous, so we'll just call him Frank. After Enriquez spoke with Frank's wife, they realized that there was a lot of emotions that weren't discussed. So the interview, especially with Frank, brought up a lot of emotions, and he expressed that he felt unloved and unrespected, and he was guarded and resistant. And the wife initially was saying that she felt like she was, you know, she wasn't being loved, and he was saying that he felt unloved. And so there was a lot of miscommunication and or uncommunication there, I guess I would say. So they listed a long quote, which I'm going to share with you, just because I feel it really portrays the emotions that were expressed, that which were destroying the relationship. So here's what the psychologist Enriquez says to Frank's wife after meeting with Frank for some time. "There have been many times over the last several years that Frank has felt you don't respect him as a man or a husband. when he makes you dinner and you don't thank him, or when he built the entertainment system and you said it looked big rather than recognizing the craftsmanship that went into it, that hurt. When he asks, why are you in bed under the covers, he's saying that he wants to be with you physically. And when you tell him that you're too tired and you're ready for sleep, he feels rejected. When you noted that he was not bringing in as much money as he used to, that now you are making more than he felt he had lost some worth in the relationship. When you pointed out that he was going gray and balding, he felt that you did not desire him. Frank does not know how to tell you these things. Indeed, he does not know how to really feel them himself. Instead, when he feels initially hurt or vulnerable, then he feels anxious and uncertain. When he feels that way, he quickly justifies why he is his own man. And if it's not good enough for you, then screw you. He'll just withdraw to himself. So reading this and seeing this and hearing this, to me, is just so heartbreaking. I mean, the wife quite obviously had no idea that the small things she was doing were hurting him very significantly. And he had no idea that just expressing some of these things would help the relationship drastically. So this, from what I was reading about the interview, this couple had been together for quite some time, and these feelings had been coming up for both people in the relationship for quite some time. So what the psychologist considered this is alexithymia. So sorry for not being able to pronounce that perfectly, but this is a clinical sounding term for when someone has a lot of difficulty translating their emotional experience into words. So normative male, sometimes female, psychology today states that alexithymia refers to the fact that traditional masculine role socialization channels many men into ways of being, you know, such that their identity conflicts with their emotions, or their emotions conflicts with their identity, and they feel, you know, what they feel that they're not allowed to express. So this will be shamed, or they'll feel like they're not real men if they express feelings of vulnerability, or, you know, if they feel like they're dependent, or they show dependency needs or weakness. Now people might think in the mindset from a very famous book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And I have read parts of this book. I have heard a lot about this book. And personally, I do not believe what this book is portraying. And this is stating that men and women are totally different, that they are from completely different planets. Now, I think that men and women are different, yes. However, I think that our culture has created a norm where men are so different that they cannot express themselves. And this is a neurological thing. I mean, if you look into it, you look into the science of it, the culprit of all of this is the corpus callosum. So for those of you who have not taken psychology or know anything about psychology, this is the part of the brain that connects the left and right hemispheres of your brain. Now, I don't know very much about this stuff because I've only taken a couple of psychology courses, but I'll give you the gist of it, and we're not going to go into a lot of scientific stuff here. But the point of this is that this is a part of the brain that is usually larger in women, and men usually have a smaller corpus callosum. So the reaction of this is that women are more able and willing to think and feel at the same time. And men naturally, because of this, separate their thoughts and feelings. So just being able to know that this scientific statistic here is showing you that physically we are different, and physically men are less, they are less likely to think and feel at the same time and express those feelings. And women are more likely to do that. I think that just knowing that is proven in science, shows a lot. However, our culture has created such a norm that because men naturally separate these thoughts and feelings, that they shouldn't express their feelings. And I've seen that time and time again with my friends, my family, my boyfriend. I think that it's very hard for a lot of people to be able to express their feelings if they are identifying as more masculine. And some thing else that I've been researching is through science, I promise again, is that men and masculine identified individuals usually show their emotions through actions. And, you know, sometimes women always expect flowers or roses and, you know, nice music and going out on dates. But this isn't the actions I'm talking about. I'm also talking about the small things. Like in the interview that was conducted, Frank said that he made the entertainment system and he made dinner. And those little things are the things that really matter. And those are the actions that show that, you know, he was loving his wife. However, his wife was anticipating being told that or whatever she was expecting. So I think that, you know, having that communication between two significant others is it's definitely something people need to look into and need to be able to at least talk about. I told you earlier that being able to communicate about communications is something that is really important. So if you're looking to communicate about how you react and how you usually work in relationships, I think that just knowing that these that the men usually are put down for expressing their feelings, I think that's something that you just need to realize if you're going to talk about it. And I think that, you know, people who are more action oriented, which it can be really hard for another person who's more communication oriented. I think that just knowing that the other side is the way they are, it helps people know what the other person needs. So I have a strong feeling that women are usually categorized as those who have to share their feelings, and they're socialized and run through society in a way that makes them feel that this is something that, you know, they need to be feminine. They need to be able to share their emotions, and sharing their emotions is feminine. And as I said, I think that they need to express their feelings, but it shouldn't be worked into our cultural norms, into our social norms. And they're allowed to not want to talk about their feelings as well. And I think that they need to be able to talk about what exactly they're looking for in relationships. So crying is mostly seen as a feminine thing, but men don't usually know how to express their feelings, or masculine identified people are said to not know how to do this, and it makes them vulnerable, and you know, they would want to feel more masculine instead of this feminine thing, which is crying, and people don't want to be judged regardless. So you know, I think that now that I've mentioned this a couple times, it's also important to know that, you know, you have to be able to take your mind off of something. But just because something, because you're upset or you're in a long distance relationship or in a complicated spot in your relationship, you know, you should be able to take your mind off of it. But you also shouldn't bottle this up. So, and it's also good to point out that people release pain in different ways. So there's a lot of different ways to be able to work with pain. And in my personal life, I've told you guys that I go running, and, you know, my boyfriend plays video games or goes on a run as well. But it's normal. And I don't think that it's good for people to bottle up emotions, and being able to talk it out, especially with your significant other, is really excellent. So as you guys can see, I believe that there definitely is a fine line between communicating through words and also not communicating enough, I guess. And I strongly believe that just letting someone know what you feel and what you need from the relationship, as I've mentioned a couple of times, is the best thing to do. So to be in a relationship that's healthy and successful, you both need to know what the other person needs or expects and let them know what you need as well. And it'll help you guys in the long run and tremendously change the relationship for the better. So something else I run into quite a lot, whether I'm giving advice to people or dealing in my own relationship, is that people love each other so much that they don't want to start a fight. They don't want to express how they're feeling, and they think that it'll create problems and issues between the two of you. And while this might be true, I know that I do that. I don't want to put my emotions or hardships on my boyfriend. But it could affect your relationship for the worse if it's never been brought up before and there's something that's upsetting you or making you angry. Then you need to be able to talk about that. So I think that being able to do that is very important. So make sure that if there is something, you bring it up and you're able to talk with your significant other because they are significant in your life. So I have a quote here from George Bernard Shaw, a Nobel Peace Prize winning playwright, critic, and socialist. And I think he puts all of this into very simple terms. Quote, "The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place." I don't think I could have said it better myself. Some couples believe that their partner is supposed to know exactly how they feel and that they should read their mind, and that's totally impossible. Yes, I think you might be able to know how the other person's feeling, but you can't really know exactly how they feel and exactly what they think. Expressing your feelings and sharing what you're thinking is hard for some people, but doing it with the one person who means a lot to you will help you. I can promise you that. And as a person, it'll help you as a person, definitely, and it'll help you in your relationship. So I hope you guys have found some clarity today on how to communicate in relationships and what to do when you're angry in a relationship and you need to talk it out, and why it is so complicated and difficult to communicate in relationships. Alrighty, you guys. You've been listening to The Hookup with DJ Cabaret. I hope you guys tune in next week for the inside scoop on lying in relationships and what that does to your relationship. And usually I would tell you guys to stay tuned for my fellow DJ, DJ Runaway, and her show Keeping It Fit, but she will be out this week. So you can tune in next week for her show as well. You have been listening to The Hookup here on Penguin Radio. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to The Hookup with DJ Cabaret every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Listen every day for other radio shows from students here at Dominican University of California.